this is June 10th, and Sunday morning. Make sure that we all know what day we're talking about. In the second chapter of Peter, 1 Peter, we run into a couple of strange things. But anyway, let me read a couple of scriptures. In verse 7, it says, Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. Unto you which be disobedient. And if I'm not mistaken, and I'm not really sure, I was trying to look it up here, I think that it mentions those, it's in Peter somewhere, that in the days of Noah were disobedient. I think that's the word that it uses. I'm not sure. But anyway, it calls him, it says he is the stone which the builders disallowed, but the same is made the head of the corner. And then it says in verse 8, he's a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, but not to everybody. He's not a stone of stumbling and a rock to offense to everybody. You know who he's a stone of stumbling to? To those who stumble at his word, being disobedient. I begin to realize that, you know, that he doesn't have to, if you're in love with the Word of God and you want to study it and read it and take it into your system, he loses the stumbling, the stone of stumbling effect. There's another scripture, and I'm going to just see if I can find it, that says something that made me really wonder this morning. I'm not sure I can find it here. I can't find it. I'll,
How's it go?
Pardon?
How does it go?
I can spot it, but I can't remember exactly what it says. I'll take my Bible down with me.
Oh, okay.
What Keith was bringing has been kind of a theme of his the last few weeks, and I've been thinking about it, and that whole process of not stumbling at his word, you know, I don't think that just happens. I think it takes a while. The natural man stumbles at his word. No, it just, that's what the natural man does.
Yes.
And I, you know, I'll call it the simple-minded genius of just having the scriptures run, you know. That is a, you know, that's kind of a stupid, lame thing to do. But I don't know if there is any way of, you know, you keep breathing that thing, keep taking it in, keep, you know. And I don't know if there's any process outside of years and days and months and whatever of just having that word coming into you, that it's you no longer stumble at it or whatever. It's just part of what's going on. And I don't know. It just seems as though we are uniquely blessed or fortunate or whatever you want to call it to be doing what we are doing. It is, it's just good. Just good. I tell you, I wasn't initially obedient. I did not want to be listening. I had other things I wanted to listen to. I didn't want to listen to that. I suppose what I was disobedient at his word. There's been a change that just takes place over a lengthy period of time, and it's good.
It's in 2 Peter, and it just caught my attention when I read it this morning. It says in the second chapter, there were false prophets among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them. Just about all of our mainline doctrines today deny the Lord that bought him. It was not God the Son that bought anybody. It was the Son of God, the man Christ Jesus, that bought us. That gave his life, died on the cross. And so, if you change his identity, do you not deny the Lord? And I'm thinking that maybe we got bigger problems than we realize. You know how subtle the devil is. He has slowly changed a lot of the doctrinal things. As a matter of fact, in 1 John 4, 1 through 3, it's a real major scripture thing. It says, don't believe every spirit, but try the spirits to see whether they be from God or not. And it says, for many false prophets are gone out into the world. And every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh, is that acknowledging the Lord that bought him? Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. Every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not from God. And you know what it says? And that is the spirit of the Antichrist. That's in verse 3. And so, I'm thinking that this little doctrinal help, that it's not little, major doctrinal help that God has allowed us to come into, is a lot bigger than what we have anticipated. And it's also something the devil will try to destroy people through. You know how Jesus says that the time would come when men will kill you thinking they're doing God's service? And if people are convinced that the Godhead consists of a Trinity, and you say it doesn't exist, your name is Mud. I mean, if you're called Mud, that would be a nice name to be called. It'd be a lot worse than that. Do you follow what I'm saying? And so when it says, indeed all who live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution, I don't know that we're going to get out of this, escape out of this thing without some harassment. And right now, there's a lot of people that agree with what we're saying here. There's a lot of people that I know that agree and say, I don't believe in the Trinity. I believe that Jesus is a man. And I've met a lot of them. I you know what? But they're not here. And you know one of the reasons? It takes bravery to start disagreeing with some of the doctrines that are so pronounced in the churches. It takes bravery. And yet, one day we stand before the Creator. Actually, we don't. We do, but we don't. We stand before Jesus Christ, who God has given the authority and the judgment seat. God is going to judge through Him, the Bible says. So if that's the case, then is it important that we come to grips with the truth? You know that one scripture in 2 Thessalonians 10, and the thing about it, it's kind of like it's stuck in there, sandwiched in with some other scriptures, and you don't pick it up. But how important is truth? Because they received not a love for the truth, that they might be saved. That's in all the translations, it says that. Because they did not receive a love for the truth that they might be saved. Is it vital that men receive a love for the truth? I would say that's a salvation issue from that scripture. Would you? Yeah, it's a vital thing. And then that's the scripture that we have on the wall. God's will is for all men to come to the knowledge of the truth. Well, what about unity through diversity? That little sentence, that's not in the scriptures anywhere, but that's a common theme among the churches. That is in direct opposition to that verse. That's in direct opposition to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit did not bring that. The Holy Spirit brings unity through truth. Can I prove that? Well, you better believe it. Unity through truth. So how vital is it then that we do it God's way?
Amen. Bob had to take Dominic up to the cell camp, so he's going to be here a little late.
I was up front here in that song. This is how we fight our battles. Yeah. And I was thinking, because it's saying surrounded by God. And I just saw something that I'm going to incorporate kind of in my daily walk, and that is, and I think each one of us might, you know, it's up to you, but I just realized again what an awesome thing it is that you have the Spirit of the living God in you. The God who created everything has His Spirit in you. He wants to dwell in your temple. And I thought, and I'm surrounded by Him. So when I get up in the morning and start walking through the day, I want to start remembering that. I'm surrounded by Him. And His Spirit lives in me. I mean, what? I mean, I'm not going to proclaim that just, you know, everywhere I go, but I want to be prepared to proclaim that. What an, you know, someone might say, because I was thinking that, well, how do you know there's a God, and how do you know you're really saved? And it, because I have the Spirit of God living in me. Well, how do you know that? Well, because for me, not now, this may not, you know, I've kind of noticed that the gift of the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues, it kind of implies in one part of the scripture that not necessarily everyone gets that, but it doesn't mean they're lost or anything. I don't know. Anyway, but I know. So my testimony is because I have a language that I never had, and in 1 second I had it. And it's not just one, it's lots. You know, I know I've spoken in tongues in different languages. I don't know what I've said, you know, but I know I have. And you know, the thing is, that might be the argument that comes when they say that, well, yeah, that was manifested on the disciples when the Holy Spirit fell out. But they were just speaking in the language of different ones there. But they didn't know the language themselves when they spoke it. It was the ones hearing that knew. So still, that was a miracle. You know, I mean, they just started uttering, and then in the audience, or the, you know, the ones that were there surrounding going, well, I know that they're not from us, and I know they don't know our language, but they're telling me, they're testifying, proclaiming who this Jesus is. You know? So, that alone. So, anyway, and I... You know, you start thinking about what's been... And here's the thing, I got a little kind of a good feeling. I was sitting there, because just in the last couple of weeks, I know it's the enemy has been attacking me with what I'm lacking or what I haven't done or whatever, and, you know, and I failed at this, and do you really think, and that, you know, just all kinds of things, just bombarding. And I started thinking, you know, it seems like most of what we're saying is being just said here. But take this into factor. There's a, and I thought of it too late before I already gave the concordance back to Charlie. There's a setting of scripture that says these truths you will proclaim to the strongholds and the principalities in heaven. And that's not the exact words. Are any of you familiar with it? There's a place where it says, what you have, you are making known. To the to the principalities and powers in heaven. You know, think about that a minute. So you're shaken up.
Yeah.
The kingdom of the enemy. It's like all of a sudden he's realizing that all these lies he's been telling, not everybody's believing. And he's starting to hear it. Oh my goodness, that group there, they don't believe what I said. They don't believe there's a triune God. And these over here don't believe it. You know, because I know there's others, obviously, besides us. And you know, it says we war not in the flesh, but against principalities and powers. So maybe for a while, that's our battle right now, in a sense. Not that some of you, and I've occasionally had the opportunity to testify. And I'm looking forward to much more of it now, to be much more open, to want to, you know, share. So, and the confidence, you have to, like I was in 1 Corinthians here, and it says in chapter 2, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered in the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed to them through his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. And it says, for what, you know, man knows the things of a man except the Spirit. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God.
that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. So, then it goes to chapter 3, 16. Do you not know that you are the temple of God? Yes. I mean, we talked about this a little, you know, I think Wednesday. And it's really setting in again this morning for me. And the Spirit of God dwells in you. So I'm thinking, tomorrow, today, I walk out into this world, I know I have the Spirit of God in me, and I know He surrounds me. And I want to try to start to say, Lord, let Thy will be done. But, you know, I mean, that's a challenge. But that's what I want. And now, how did I get that? I didn't think that up. This Word of God is changing us. It's bringing us to want those things now, more than anything, you know. I mean, I know we're going to get to the point where nothing is more important than what we can do for God. And in my life, that's going to take some doing yet, you know. But it's changing. It's coming. And so, you know, God having let me stand here and say this, I know that I've just taken away that some of that babbling that He did in the last week or so. You know? Yeah. It didn't work. It didn't work. You know? Not because I'm strong. You know, and boy, have I come to realize in my weakness, I need to call on Jesus Christ to strengthen me every day. You know, and I can tell now when these temptations are coming in certain things. And it's like, I got to go, Lord, give me strength. Turn it away. Don't let me give in to it. Don't let me entertain even a little for a while, you know. And that now, that's not in everything. It's just in a particular area that I know that I've been weak in, you know. And I'm trying to build up out of that, and now I've failed a few times and stuff, but it's working. I know it's working, and it's beginning. Like for me, I was in a place, you know, for a while where I really wanted to emphasize my relationship with God. Because I just felt that it got kind of lopsided. And you know what? I still want to emphasize my relationship with God. It's the ultimate. But, there's a big but. But the only way I can be that is through Jesus Christ. And so not only do I have the Spirit of God dwelling in me, I have asked for what it says, that the Spirit of Christ be in me also. Because that's the one that's going to teach me how to become what I need to be for our Father. And you know, He says, I no longer call you servants, I call you friends. Yes. He's our brethren, our friend, our brother. So who better can teach us how to walk as He walked, you know? And so it's a combination. And I know for a while it sounded like we were putting less emphasis on Jesus Christ, but you know what? So did He.
That's right.
He never wanted the emphasis necessarily on Him. But obviously, He is the one that provided this reconciliation, this open door, this be able to go through the Holy of Holies where the curtain's rent and you can go into the deepest parts of God because of Him. And you can know the mysteries of God.
Yes.
You know? I mean, yeah, it says there's mysteries, but it also says they can be known. to those who love Him. Right?
Yes.
And we love His Word. We're beginning to love it more and more. And, you think about if your child just was everything you wanted him to be. Wouldn't you love that child? I mean, we want to love all our children. But you know what I'm talking about in this? God loves everyone, sure. And He does. But He loves some a lot more, I think. I mean, it's because they're conforming to what He wants. They're conforming to the Word that He's put out there, you know? And, you know, it's becoming so much clearer that the people that are professing certain, and they're called heresies, what kind of doctrines? Not deceptive doctrines, but doctrines, they are deceptive. There's another word that fits there. Anyway, so these people, it says, with their natural minds, and Paul says in one place, don't say more than what is written in this word. And they're saying more than it. Nowhere is it written what they're proclaiming to be as a doctrine. You know, deception, or a doctrine of deception, whatever. So they're making it up by their natural mind. And it's sad that, like, it seems like about 95% of the people that proclaim to be Christians are believing that or don't know any better. A lot of them are ignorant. And do you think that's going to create a problem when you start giving the truth? Yes. But the fact is, the truth still needs to be proclaimed.
Yes, it does.
You know? And you know what? It does cause a judgment. But you know what? God said, I'm going to judge my house first. I've been judged. Have you? I know I've been judged. And still am being judged. By this word. And it's what's changing me, though. Because it's judging me on the things that are not true or the things that I didn't know. And it's bringing truth. And that brings freedom. That brings life, you know. So, sorry, but yeah, it's a good thing.
I bet.
Several things. In the book of Acts, the disciples, the Lord used them to heal a couple, you know, different times. But in one case, the religious leaders had told them, they said, we forbid you to preach anymore in this name. And so here's the thing that they asked. They said, now you tell us. We want you to tell us now. Should we listen to you or should we listen to God? I mean, they thought they were from God, but he said, you tell us now. Who should we listen to? To God or to you? Well, anyway, one thing. And then another thing, I had a real horrible experience yesterday. I mean, just a lonely, and anyway, it was a rough thing, and Candy kind of set me straight. She said, Dad, she said, you've got Corky and Susan, and you've got Charlie and Ken and Bonnie and, you know, and Glenn. Glenn was up to the hospital. His wife, is she doing pretty good still?
I'll give a report in a minute.
Huh? Okay. But anyway, she said, you've got all these people to call. And I said, I know, but sometimes when the devil attacks, you don't feel like you're worth it. You know what I mean? You're not worth taking up their time and calling them. But anyway, God kind of brought me out of that, but I apologize. I need to call you guys. And but I tell you about another, one other thing that happened before Glenn got here. But I was sitting there yesterday morning, and Chuck and I, and there was a knock on the door. And I didn't see anybody, and Chuck went over and opened the door and let him in. And here, this guy comes in the house, and he says, "Hi, Keith." And I thought, I don't know who you are, but I've never seen you before. And he looks at me, and he says, "You don't know who I am, do you?" And I said, not a clue. And he says, I'm Ron Sorensen. Anybody remember Ron Sorensen? And I haven't seen him since, well, before the accident, just a year before the accident in 76. So it's been, I haven't seen him since 1975. He was just like a kid. And him and Chuck and somebody else in the middle of the night decided they're going to borrow my Ford van, the one he got, was in the accident. And they took a trip into it. I mean, it wasn't what I wanted them to do, and they I kind of got after them afterwards, but they took a trip into Eau Claire, and on the way back out on 29, they come around one of the corners, and they tipped it over. It was laying on its side, and so they were forced to call me. And it was a light van. Remember those old light, you know, white vans? And anyway, so the rest of us, we jumped in whatever other vehicle we had, and I don't know if we got somebody else that was there close to help us. We got in the vehicle, and we drove over there, and we got behind the van. We set it back up on its wheels. You know, there's enough of us to do it, and drove it home. But anyway, that has nothing to do with what I was going to tell you about. But so anyway, here's Ron Sorensen, and he's got a, you know, beard and put on 100 pounds. And anyway, and the reason that I thought of him was what Ken had said. And he starts to talk, and he's spirit-filled. He lives in Hawaii, and he's here on vacation. He was adopted by I think what his name is. Bonnie and Sorensen. But anyway, he said that he's over in Hawaii, you know, and he's part of a church system. And anyway, and what he told me this for whatever reason, I don't know, but he says, "I have learned why it's important to speak in tongues." He says, "I speak in tongues on the job." He says, "I do it on a regular basis." You know what? I could tell that he does. I could tell by listening to him that he's. It's like the Lord is using him to do this. And he says, "I am seeing some of the most profound things take place." Isn't that kind of what God has been leading us a little bit? I was amazed when he started telling me about all this. But anyway, he's a sweetheart. Yeah.
I was up to see Barb this morning. She's doing a lot better. So I don't know when she's coming home yet, but I got a little testimony I want to bring as to how all this happened. And, you know, we take the word coincidence and, oh, wasn't that a coincidence that just what just happened? You know? But after this experience that we went through, I've come to realize there is no such thing as the word coincidence, because everything's in God's plan. You know? Last Wednesday, we were up at the camper, and a bunch of us guys got together, and we planned a four-wheel ride, you know, to go for breakfast. So I called my neighbor Mike and said, "You coming up for it?" And he said, "Yeah." I says, "Can you stop and pick up Serenity? Because she wants to go too." So we did, and so we were getting ready to go, and then I get a phone call from Farm and Fleet saying my lawnmower's done, which I broke the tension spring broke on it, so I didn't have any. The blades quit working. So I took it in. They told me it'd be 2 to 3 weeks. Well, they called Thursday morning, the day of the ride, and said, "It's done." And I said, "Well, it'll be a day or two before I can even get there." So we went on the ride, and we come back. And I helped Mike unload some stuff from his trailer. And I said, "Mike, sorry for a ride back with you. You know, I hadn't planned on going back. I was going to stay up there and wait for Barb, because she went home to do laundry. Okay? Which sometimes she doesn't. I just stay up there and, you know." So I get home and ask, "How you doing?" Well, her comment is, "I'm okay." Which tells everybody a lot when your wife says you're okay, or your spouse says you're okay, but it don't tell you nothing. You know. So, okay. Well, nothing I can do. She's okay. But later that night, well, we went back to the camper, and she told me she had this little, what she thought was a seizure, and the way she was describing it, she was shaking all over uncontrollably and couldn't hardly breathe. And, "Oh, how are you doing now?" "I'm okay." "Okay." So about 10:30, 11 o'clock at night, she went through another one. So I, this being the second one in the day, I called the ambulance, have them come in, pick her up, and take her in. And they did. They took her to St. Joe's first, and because they didn't know what was wrong. They thought maybe it was seizures, but they didn't know. So they took her there first because that was the closest place to get help, you know. Well, come to find out, we had to transfer again back to, or not again, but back to, over to St. Sacred Heart, where they, in the cardiology department. So, but she did have, the doctor said, a minor mini type heart attacks, but he said, but she had blockage in her, one of her veins or her aorta or whatever it was. I'm not sure which one anymore. So they fixed that, you know. But now she's doing good on the heart. The heart is starting to heal itself because it was a very minor damage to it. But she's having trouble with her breathing, and she's got asthma and all that, so they're in her blood pressure. So they're keeping her there for that, I'm pretty sure. But anyway, so she is doing good. But to get back to the coincidence thing, you know, if it hadn't been for Farmer Fleet calling at that time, telling me the lawnmower was done, I wouldn't have known all this, and she'd have come back and we'd never know. So somehow God planned it that you're going back home and you're going to be there, you know. And I realized then that there is no such thing as coincidence anymore. It's all God's plan. Now, and, you know, it's, I might have more, but right now my mind is lost.
Which happens to me a lot.
So, Glory.
Charlie?
Oh, sorry. Well,
oh, thank
you. I won't be real long,
Susan. I
may stay right there. I do love those moments when the Lord just demonstrates His caring, you know, just arranging things so that it's just so right. You know, He shows us the all-encompassing, whatever, all His love, you know, the way He just moves the pieces just right, you know, and leaves behind that. I love it when that happens. And I felt it through the whole situation with Joanne. I was feeling the ways that, he just, through the hard times, he was just demonstrating his, setting up the details so nice, you know, just demonstrating his love. I really like that.
That is very true. What you said is very true, but there's also a responsibility that we have to listen to the Lord.
Yeah.
Farm Fleet could have called and you said, I won't be there for 2 weeks. And those are the things that come inside us that God says, no, hello, I'm doing it for a reason. And you listen with that internal heart because it's the Spirit that says, I'm listening to what you have to say. So and it's a good thing. It's a good thing. God bless. Noah. When you were talking about him, and then in 1 Peter 3:20, to those who were disobedient long ago. Okay, that's for the disobedient. So, to those who were disobedient long ago, when God waited patiently in the days of Noah while the ark was being built. How long did it take to build that ark? Yeah. You know, if I saw that outside my back door and being built, and even though we really didn't know what was going on, and it said God waited patiently, he gave him a long time. I mean, that was a lot of patience. More patience than we have. And I'm going, is God building his spiritual ark? And are we patiently waiting? Or are we being disobedient? And it's a very profound thought, because I want to be the one I want to be helping him build that ark. If he's building a spiritual ark, I'm going to be there spiritually building it with him.
Glory.
Because I want the Lord. And yes, Ken, I've been beat up all week long, and you know, it's one of those things that you're going, should I have not? You know, you doubt yourself in every single way about everything. But let me tell you just another little story. And this has to do with Corky's sister. When she first got married, I don't know, along 20-some-odd years ago, she pretty much said she was an atheist. But whenever we came over, they would be very careful not to swear around us. And then she got to be thinking about, well, you know, there's probably a supreme being, some big universe thing, you know, and life goes on and on and on. Well, now let me get you up to date as to where she is now. And it had nothing to do with anybody pushing something down anybody's throat. It had what the Spirit has. And she recently moved up here and moved in with Corky's other sister. And she comes running up to us going, I think this is a God thing. And what? Well, he just made this so easy for us to get this apartment. And now I found this guy to do something. It's a God. I think it's a God thing. And you just kind of smile, because it wasn't, we're not God. Oh, we're not God. But God dwells in us. And people see that. So she's gone from, you know, maybe being an atheist to maybe thinking a supreme being to it's a God thing. So don't discredit what your life shows other people.
That's right.
Yeah.
When we got together on Wednesdays, I kind of brought up, you know, do we love Jesus? Do we love the Lord? Do we love God? If so, how much? you know. And if you love him, why do you love him? Anyways, I wasn't doing too hot, you know. But then I went fishing. I didn't go fishing. I went to Lake Michigan with intentions of going fishing. And you gotta go to bed early, so you can get up at 3 in the morning. And I lay in bed and I did not sleep. I did not sleep at all. Zero sleep. But all of a sudden, I'm the scriptures that they were not playing. Scriptures are just I couldn't get away from. I mean, you know, and I was praying. I call it praying. I don't even know what is it that I'm doing. I just, you know, call on to the Lord, you know, praying, and scriptures come in, and I realize, you know, we are all, the whole world, from A to Z, everyone is a disciple. It's just a matter if you are a disciple of Jesus or you're a disciple of some other man. You know what I mean? Jesus says, you know, it is enough for someone to be like a disciple, to be like his teacher. So, which I understand, like, if whoever teaches you, you are a disciple of that person.
Yes.
Now, I am a disciple. I know that. You know, I can claim some things in the Lord, but I can claim that I am a disciple of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Now, let me talk. I want to talk about the disciples a little bit. The disciples. Jesus said, "Didn't I choose you?" The 12. Jesus chose those disciples. He. Now, during the Gospels, I'm okay. Not in Acts, but during the Gospels, being a disciple of Jesus Christ, it didn't make you great, really. It is not a great thing to be a disciple. It doesn't make you really that special, besides the fact that Jesus chose you. We need to be like Jesus. The Scripture says we need to be like Jesus. However, before we get to be like Jesus, we are a disciple. And what the disciples did that was very good, that got them to where they are at right now, you know, it's the fact that they obey. They obey Jesus. Jesus says, seems to me randomly almost, to some people, "Hey, follow me." And these guys are busy fishing. Okay. I mean, think about it. Just drop the nets and they follow. You have to have the other ones, you know. Just follow me. And they obeyed. They obeyed to follow. However, the disciples were not good at following instructions. I don't want to go into details because you guys know the Gospels, you know. They did good things, you know. Go and pray and heal the sick, and see, send the 70 and another 70 and the 12. And they went, they healed the sick, but then they come back with this goofy mentality. Hey, the demons are rejoicing. You know, this was always this wrong thing with the disciples. Lord, I will go to death with you. I promise, you know. And everyone said the same, he says. And everybody didn't go with him. And so forth. And so many things, you know. And they did good things, you know. Who do you say I am? I said, you are the Son of God. Later, you know, Jesus rebuked him because Peter was just goofy enough. What I'm trying to say is that, you know, and then Peter, you know, do you love me? Yes. Do you love me? Yes. Anyways, now Jesus was the disciples' teacher. If Jesus would have been, I was saying, to get high school teachers, and the disciples were the students, the disciples would have, their grade would be like a D plus, you know, like a barely passing, you know. So what comforted me is like the disciples were bad at lots of things that Jesus told them to. And so am I. Now, I am not justifying. I'm not saying we should stay there because that's good enough. But what the great thing is that I can see that I'm short, that I'm failing. That is the great thing, that I can see that I'm failing because Jesus is my teacher. Now, if Jesus is not your teacher, you don't see your failing. You know, oh, you're doing so good, you're doing so great. You know what I mean? Everyone is a disciple. And not because Jesus is my teacher, he makes me perfect immediately. I mean, when you enter school, your math teacher, he knows a lot. And you are just learning how to count as many fingers you have in your hand. Not because Jesus is my teacher, it will make me like Jesus immediately. I have to keep following him. I have to keep listening. I have to keep learning. It doesn't make me perfect as soon as he's my teacher. So, and it's, you know, so anyways, I did get comfort in watching the disciples, you know, fail. Not fail, but they obey, but they fail in the process. You know, it's not that they didn't obey; they just fail somewhat in the process. Sometimes Jesus was speaking, they didn't even believe. They did not believe. Yeah. Some of the times they didn't even understand. You know what I mean? So I don't want to say it's okay, but it's a process. And I was feeling not good because of this, you know. But there's another step that Jesus speaks. You know, when you are converted. You know, and I don't know how much, if there's anything that we can do on our own right now for conversion or for, you know, the Spirit to come besides ask. But the next step is more something that God has to do more than we have to do. I don't know that besides following it, and we follow. But then God has to do something to his followers, you know, and that's, you know, what we see on the Day of Pentecost, you know, the Spirit fell and great things happened. Now, if our lives ended before God did something great, that doesn't mean we're going to hell, you know what I mean? We just didn't perfect this in here. We will be perfect anyways later. So, even if we on earth don't reach that place of Day of Pentecost, for as long as Jesus is your only teacher, you are where God wants you. Jesus has to be your only teacher. So I don't know. That made me feel better.
Those of us towards the back are going to have to practice our sprinting. I just want to make an amen to something that Charlie said. I think it's really important because it spoke to my heart because it describes my walk. And we've kind of been touching on it, but I think it's really worth repeating. The letters of the word are but stumbling stones in the hearts of men. I spent a few years of my conversion or my beginning my walk with Christianity looking at the Bible and just viewing it as a large contradiction to itself. Because if you don't want to let the Spirit work and you want to, you can probably find almost everything, something that appears better than something else. And that goes to, as it was said, the pure genius of God to hide the truth from man if you try and come at it with your intellect, not with your heart, a love for the truth, and with the Holy Spirit guiding you. On a slightly humorous note, to follow up on what Pablo said, you know, Jesus came along and asked Peter and the other disciple, whose name escapes me, to leave the fishing nets and come with me. And they did. Now, what are the other fishermen out on the lake doing at the time? They're going, hey, there's a boat and a lake and a whole bunch of fish I can go get. A natural man is going, this is great. It's my lucky day. I didn't even have to do anything. You know, and we never really talk about, we only focus on a certain thing and kind of ignore the other thing. Which goes to, I think we are really walking fairly upright with God. Not that we're perfect, far from it. Not that we're special, you know, woe to that. But we have made comments. Certain people have made certain statements, and they have had consequences. You know how they've had consequences? Everybody's getting up and testifying how the enemy is taking after them. One of the ways I judge whether I'm doing things well, as sick as perverted it may be, is how bad am I doing? How do I feel? I feel like I'm kind of in the washing machine getting tossed around. You know, while I'm trying to walk upright, while I'm trying to make good choices, and while I'm trying to do things for God. And is it rough? I must be doing okay. Because the enemy is not going to let that stand. If you can't wait, if you can't sleep at night, or if you wake up and can't get back to sleep, or you feel contested about what you've said, or there's just countless ways. Don't overlook the fact that what you have said, or the stand you've taken, or the conclusion you've come to, or the revelation that God has given you, do not think for a moment it's not going to be contested by the enemy. Because it will be. Because despite whatever revelation you have, you can get knocked off your game. And then you lose. We were just saying how we can be instructed to do something. We can be shown how to do something. And then we try and do that something and we don't do it. You know? And then the enemy comes after you and says, well, what excuse do you have not to be doing this? You've heard it, you've seen it, you know it, and you still can't do it. You're a failure. Boy, he likes to do that. Whenever I get into things like this, I go, well, hey, I've seen people swing a golf club on TV and hit the ball straight and long and far, and I've had people tell me how to do it. I've even tried to do it, but I still can't do it. Now, that's just an illustration of something happens in the natural, but you can take that to the spiritual and say, okay, I know I should pray. I know I should ask for forgiveness. I know I should seek the Lord when I'm being tested. I know these things. I've been told these things. I've even done these things from time to time. But I'm not doing it all the time. I'm not constantly remembering the challenge that I'm facing. You know, I played the one song, Surrounded, but maybe people didn't catch the meaning behind the song that followed that, that says, let your mercy reign. Because we need God all the time. All the time. Until we get filled with the Spirit to the point where we are able to walk more uprightly. And then it won't be us. It'll be the Spirit. It'll be God within us. And if we can continue to seek Him with our heart, with a love for the truth, we can overcome everything.
Yes.
Yeah. I love Brother Peter because he gives me the word. You know, God says, Jesus says, You know, you have the keys to the kingdom. This has been revealed to you by the Spirit. You know, and he gives Peter a lot of attaboys. Peter walks on water for a period of time. But then the humanity of Peter lets him fail. Oh, Lord, we're not going to let you die. Get behind me, Satan. If that does anything for us, we should recognize that this is not an easy one. It may be straight. It may be narrow. It may sound simple. It's not. Do not get discouraged by what appears to be failures. I don't mind that I can't do something. I get worried when I don't have the heart or the desire to do it right.
That's right.
That's when I go, Lord, I am really in trouble. I really, really need you now.
Mm-hmm.
Keith talks about having a bad moment and talks about being attacked. I'm sure that there is nothing I can say that makes it any less difficult or any less unpleasant. But the most important thing to remember in that comment is, well, I'm better now. The enemy tried, and for a moment, but I am better now because my Father did not forsake me. I'm still walking, and I'm still searching. I'm still trying. And then, just a little personal testimony about me. We've had so many other things that are far more important for me to spend time on, but I think it fits. A few weeks back, I got a phone call, and my previous company, folks were saying that, yeah, they're in a position and they're ready to move forward and, you know, complete the acquisition and buy my stock and pay my bills and, you know, just make me whole with them. And it's not a trivial amount of money, but it's certainly not, life-changing. But it's kind of like comfortable, not comfortable, you know, how much, you know, where do you want to be? So I get, that's encouraging. Yet, I've had this conversation multiple times. So, you know, so the answer is, well, what am I going to do with this? I'm going to be hopeful, but I'm not going to really do anything until you kind of see the fruits of the conversation come true, and you go, well, you know, some would say, well, that you're being pessimistic, and I go, well, the difference is I'm dealing with men, not God. With men, I tend to take a little bit more of a Missouri attitude and say, okay, show me. Yeah, I'm just not going to take it on faith that you're going to do what you say to do. With God, I always take it on faith. He does what he says he's going to do. I might not even see him saying or doing what he's going to do because I don't understand. It doesn't mean it didn't happen. Just means that I'm not in tune yet enough with him and his will. But I'm encouraged. I'm really sorry that all of you are having trouble sleeping. Me, not so much. Well, maybe that's not good. Maybe I'm not standing up or taking a hard enough stand. But I'm encouraged because the enemy is after us. If the enemy is after us, we need to really, really stick to it. Stay where we're at. Keep focused. And we've been talking about not that we like the Holy Spirit, but the words were, I want the Holy Spirit in my life. I want the patience to stand up to any kind of rebuke the world might throw at me. I want the opportunity to share my heart about God when it's led by God.
Amen.
That's what I want. I want to be used by him, and I want to be ready when he does that. And I want to be looking for those opportunities, and I want to know that it is his timing because he lets me know that. The enemy does not want any of this to happen. So those of us who are stepping out in faith and are being challenged, praise God, because it's exactly where we need to be. I'm not saying we've arrived. I'm not saying we're done. I'm not saying any of that. I'm saying we're making good choices and taking steps, and the enemy's not liking that. There's not much more that we can ask for. We make the enemy unhappy, we're at least on the right path and we're making progress. God bless.
I don't get a chance to say this very often, but I am going to say, I want to tell you what Corky meant by what he said. No, just in a phase of it. And here's what it is. If you're in a church that tells you how easy it is to be a Christian, you're in the wrong church. And in the process of me doing that, I forgot what I was going to say when I got up here. Not a clue. That's not good. It's not good because it was good too. It'll come back.
Almost there.
Well, Peter was being mentioned and stuff. I thought, you know, because there's kind of this thing, it looks like there's a little competitiveness or whatever between Peter and John. And I believe Peter and John were partners in the fishing, because that was their livelihood. And, you know, all that they went through, but what happened in Acts? Who went out and ministered together? Peter and John, you know, and it just shows that we're not all made alike, you know. So I think just about every person today that got up had a message, and I want us to just acknowledge, as they did in Acts, when they got brought before the council. And let's just kind of prepare yourself, but let's all, if you feel it, outwardly express and say, glory that I have been persecuted, that I have been come against by the enemy. Can we do that together? Just say, thank you, Lord,
yes,
that we are worthy, that He would want to come against us. In You we're worthy. You know? And everyone had a positive after it, did they not? We all grew. We all, you know, came out of it because we're in God. And He loves us and we love Him. And that's a glorious thing. You know? I've been thinking a little bit about where I was at that point, and I thought I'd never see the light of day. You know? And in a matter of a day or two, it had changed already. You know, and you know that I still need to remember exactly what Corky said. I am ready and willing to testify, proclaim, if He says to.
Amen.
And you know what? It is. You want to talk about learning long suffering and patience when you feel like you've been waiting, maybe 25 years, you know? But still, what does it say He can do in a day? The impossible. You know, and that's all that's my hope. You know? And maybe it'll be more than one day, and that'd be great too, you know? It just, you know, if you think about
it's got to be getting close to the end. How would God be doing all this? You know, and I, and how many times in the past that we thought that what God was doing, this was it, you know, and there was these different types of things that the Spirit did in this body. And he was doing it and doing things in other places of the world too. And then, you know what? When I finally accepted what was being brought about this word, I sat there and I thought, what? There can't possibly be anything else. This has got to be it. This is the answer. And I think that's true. How can there be more than knowing God's word? And whatever that causes. And why would you learn that if it wasn't going to be used? You know, why would he have brought that to you or me if it's not going to be used? And so, and as you look around, I mean, there are a lot more earthquakes, volcanoes, storms, I would say, than there's ever been. I don't know. I haven't heard numbers on it yet, but I would say a person could probably find that out. That's a sign of the times, it says.
Yes, it is.
You know? And rumors of war. Oh, my goodness. You know? I mean, the minute I started seeing our president say things to the North Koreans, I thought, oh, my goodness. Well, God put him there. There must be a reason, you know? It's going to bring about the end, you know. But and then, you know, and then it looks like there's signs of peace again, you know. So it's just crazy, all these things. I'm praying for discernment all the time because I want to know when to look nigh unto heaven because your Lord's coming, you know. And I don't want to be caught by surprise or off guard. You know, I don't think any of us do. And so that's, we need to be praying and just and staying in this word because that is the key. That's what says will let you know all these things. And so it just, yeah, here's a good word that was brought this morning. It's not a coincidence that he opened this word and made it the vital, life-blood-giving that it is. I mean, I don't know how many times I sat there and thought, well, what possibly could come after this? What could be more? I mean, I don't know if you've thought of it that way. Have you thought about that? What could possibly be more? I mean, he might do miracles to follow and all that, but it's all based on this is it. This word is the answer. I mean, there is nothing else that can do what this word does. There's no other truth in the universe than this word. That's crazy. You know, when you think about truth, there's either truth or there isn't. I mean, there's mundane things. There's things, but, you know, like the truth is, well, it rained an hour ago. Okay, that's true because it rained an hour ago, you know. But a truth, see, and you know what it's based on? The world wants to, they want to know what's true to help me or benefit me. Or this truth is to benefit your eternal life. Now, because a lot of them don't know about eternal life yet and the aspects of it, well, then they're not, there's not an interest, and this doesn't look important. But see that all of a sudden, truth is, you know, nobody wants to talk about it because nobody necessarily knows anything about it in the natural, you know. But what can be more than truth? I mean, that word right now, it's almost like it's escaping me. Truth, it's so awesome. It's so... what can you say about it? If you don't have truth, you got falseness or nothing. Maybe I don't even know if there's a neutral place between
lack of truth.
And of course, if you're living in the world, who cares, right? But God's going to make it evident to every person at one point that they should care, and they have to make a choice. Do they want they'll discover there could be in some of their minds eternal life, and what's the opposite of that, you know? And most of them don't want to believe there's a hell or anything like that. And then some of them talk about they're going to go to hell, and great, you know, because they'll be with their buddy or whatever. You know, it's nuts if you think about that. It goes to show you have absolutely no comprehension of the awfulness of that, because it says you'll be void of the Spirit of God. And I don't have any idea what that is, but I know it would be the most horrific thing to not have His presence. Because you don't know what that entails, because you don't realize how much it protects you right now. You know? And so, anyway, it's amazing. I mean, it's just amazing.
Remembered what I forgot.
Two things. There's when we come to this truth aspect, in John 17:17, Jesus makes a statement, and he said, sanctify, he's praying, he says, sanctify them through your truth. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter what anybody else considers truth.
That's right.
You know, sanctify them through your truth. Your word is truth. And you know what? You start thinking about that, and it changes the whole concept of truth. And then the other thing that I forgot was John 8:31 that I quote so often. I want to put the emphasis on the right syllable in that. And it says, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciple. And you know what I was thinking as I thought about that verse? I don't think that he has a lot of disciples.
Mm-hmm.
Benny Hinn has his disciples. Don Burnett had his disciples. I was one of them. And then one day, God took away that discipleship, and we started to be under the other disciple, the one that we need to be under. You know, there's another, going back to another comment that was made, excuse me, and I forgot the comment.
I'm not going to be very long.
I'll think of it. Eli's got to get into the habit of coming up to him. God's doing good things in
there. I was planning to get up and talk about the book of John. Keith made two more references. John 21:25. And this has always stuck with me because... And there are also many other things which Jesus did, which, if they should be written, everyone, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. And I only say that kind of in comment to Ken's comment, that not disagreeing with anything that he brought, but just saying, you know, when you start to say, well, this is it and there can't be more, John said there was so much more that we really don't know that was done, that was would be part of the word that wasn't recorded for us. And the only way for us to know when we're seeing more of the truth is to know Him. So that when something has happened or something is said, you know, in the latter times, we will know that it belongs. It is part of this because everything in His word wasn't written. Which gives me hope that, you know, I don't know about what the next big thing is, and I'm not saying that there is something beyond the Word, but according to the Word, this isn't all of the Word.
It's all that we need.
But it is all that we need. Yes. The verse right before it. That we would name, this is the disciple which testifieth of these things and wrote these things that we that we know that his testimony is true. So I'm not saying that it's incomplete. I'm saying it maybe could be there's more, but not saying it's incomplete, because this is all we need. But I'm excited because it says there's more yet, in a way.
Why don't we let's come up to the front.